Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have come across a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. That's right. We are the show that dives into the discography and the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, the mighty Van Halen. And I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. But if Corey sounds a little funny, he's feeling a bit under the weather, but he's still a trooper, and so he still wants to do the show, and there is no rest for the not weary, not wicked, just there's no rest for the Van Halen fan. We keep going, we keep rocking. Corey, thank you for keeping on rocking here.
Of course, it wasn't even a consideration. I got to be here and rock out with my brethren and listen to a little Van Halen. I got my Barry White voice going on. Can't get enough of your love, babe. So I'm going to say
there it is.
This sounds super sexy for all the ladies here tonight. But there's a very good chance that either I'm going to pass out or my voice is going to give out. So I brought in a ringer. And normally we give this guy grief, but I got to give him full props. He's my my broadcasting partner over at Backtracks. He's John Mariano. And he generously decided to sit in with us here tonight just in case I can't fulfill my end of the bargain here tonight. Johnny's going to pick up the slack. How are you doing tonight, John?
Hi, Corey. Hi, Mark. I can't wait. Like, I love recording. I love. I'm very thankful that Mark's here, the guest on the show with us. Like, there's nothing better I like doing than talking Aerosmith with everybody. And you know, Corey and I do our show, but you know, Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited, and it's so great that Mark is joining the show. Mark, thanks for joining tonight.
Oh yes, I love being a guest on my own show. It's great.
Oh wait, wrong show. Sorry. Hi, folks. Welcome to Backtracks theme music. This is Corey Morissette and John Mariano's new show, break down songs from movies and TV shows. We break down the TV show or movie and the song and the artist all in one big podcast. And Mark, thank you for joining us tonight.
Jokes aside, I will be very excited and very honored to be a part of that show. But yes, you guys, check out that new show. It is going to be awesome. Tell them the title again of it, John.
So it's Backtracks theme music. You know, Corey and I have this brand called Backtracks because we're lazy and we like to like just reuse words as much as we can. And this one's called theme music, and it's a pun, if you will. It could be a theme song. It could be just the theme of a scene. As long as the song is played in the movie or TV show. It could be on the soundtrack. It could be we talk about why it was chosen, how it works, how it plays off the themes of the movie. We talk about the artists and the artist's involvement in it. Maybe their take on the movie if they have one. So it's blending two things that we love and something that Corey, Mark, and myself have bonded over the last few years on both music and movies. I feel weird because it's like music and movies and TV shows. Like, I'm just going to say music and movies, and you can assume TV too.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all the same, relatively speaking. This podcast sounds like one that I would have loved at any age whatsoever. So I know I'm going to love it now that it's finally here. So be on the lookout for Backtracks theme music, you guys, on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
I have one bit of business before we get started talking about Van Halen, which I am very excited to be talking about with you guys tonight. Well,
by all means.
But my little bit of business, Mark, is consider this an open invitation for either show, but specifically for the theme music, because I know how passionate you are about it, that, you know, Corey and I will just drop in a chat, hey, we're recording tonight, and you want to come in any night you want discussing any, like, you know the rules, any song from, like, you could pick the theme song to Frasier, and you can force me to talk about Frasier for a half hour if you want. And I will.
And you would, yes. Oh, I wouldn't do that to you. I would go with Cheers just for you, Johnny.
But I would be perfectly fine, and I would take my Frasier bias out of it and talk about the great writing over 9 seasons of that show and be fine with it.
Yeah, there you go. But it's all about the music. It's all about the tunes. And yes, two things very much we're passionate about. Movies, film, television, of course, but all that blended together, and music, and the music that helps make it all go round. Speaking of round and round, you guys, last week we did a poll, as we always do, about the song Without You. And since Corey is usually our poll guy on Twitter, the poll for Without You, last week's episode, an amazing, astounding 70-30 split percentage. 70% of That's What Dreams Are Made Of, and 30% The Dream Is Over. Honestly, was kind of thinking it would go a little bit more sort of halfway, but 70-30 is not bad. I know we enjoyed Without You, so it looks like that the general audience agrees with us. And since we're on it, let's take a look at some of the tweets and the comments going down the list here. From the Deep Purple podcast, fellow podcasters on the Deep Dive Network, very solid rocker off of 3, Van Halen 3. Yeah, got to agree. This is the one that, if you listened to the show last week, this is the one that kind of gave me hope, gave me optimism, because so far the tracks we've landed on Van Halen 3, not too hopeful, but this one was pretty much a banger. From Gene Hickey, great tune, one of the highlights on the album for sure. A different producer, some more time playing together before recording. Oh, what could have been for this version of the band? Completely agree. Corey, I think I can speak for you when I say also completely agree. Mm-hmm. You can give me a yes or a no.
Absolutely.
There it is. Let's see here. From Mark Fuller, this song always reminds me of the moment I heard what Van Halen with Sharon sounds like after 18 months of waiting. Yeah, I can imagine that if this is your introduction to Gary Sharon singing for Van Halen, you'd be hopeful too. I know I would have been, and then maybe I wouldn't have been so down on the rest of the album. I don't know, but hindsight is 2020, isn't it? From Steve Harold, it's the best song on that album. Indeed. Our good buddy Tom Armbruster. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, Tom.
He's the official friend of the show, by the way, Tom.
He is. There it is. It's in the name, too. Friend of the show, Tom. He says, I got goosebumps when the chorus kicked in. And if Hagar era Van Halen taught us anything, it's that if it moves you, it's a winner. Agree that a different producer might have made things sound better. Yes. See, this is good. It's good to know that Corey and I, our critique wasn't so far off the mark. You know what I mean? It's good to see that everyone else is sort of having this sort of same revelation. From Jonathan P. Todd. This is, to me, this is Van Extreme. EVH trying to write a funk slash extreme tune. Love the song and bummed you cut the live version short. There is an awesome nod to the Beatles at the end. I did not know that. I'm sorry we cut it short, but you know, it was a long episode and we were rocking and we just, things happen. Sorry, Jonathan, but
let me cut in and pull the curtain back. Because
okay, go ahead, John.
Sometimes you don't pull back the curtain enough and you skirt around the issue. Just so people know, sometimes these things run a little long and we drink a lot of water during them and you really got to pee. So sometimes you miss a great tune or a great nod on a live track because nature's calling.
And when nature calls, you answer. You don't put up a fight. You don't ignore it. You go. And, you know, frankly, I know what you're thinking. Couldn't you guys have just edited it out? You going to the bathroom and went back to the song? I was like, well, maybe. But our editor slash producer slash podcaster just doesn't have that kind of time. It's sounds fine. Like we try to make his we try to make your job easy.
He's also expensive.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, we can only afford him for so long. From the You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, I keep reminding myself to tune into that show because I'm really, really excited. But tune in, you guys. A Friday the 13th podcast, You're All Doomed. They say, this is the first song you've covered that needs a third option on the poll. Something that's right down the middle. Maybe call it Little Dreamer. I like that. I like that, you guys. That's awesome. I'm not sure. Wait, does Twitter allow?
I
guess they do.
The Cult of John has a ruling here that we do not hedge our bets in these lands. It's a yes or no. It's a very binary answer, yes or no, and you're all in or you're all out, and that's the only two that we can allow.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so it's much like the people split between Van Halen and Van Hagar. It's either you're in or you're out, even though I don't agree with that sentiment, but a lot of the general fandom is that way. Go figure. From Kofifi Hefe, great name. Tremendous song, believe me. Some might even say it's one of the best on the album after Year to the Day. And then there's emojis there, like okay, well, cool, yeah. From Kevin Brown at Kevin Brown Canada, a fellow Canadian there, Corey.
Hey, Kevin.
reminds me why I gave up on this album within 6 months. Sounds like a quickly discarded demo from 5150, recorded hurriedly in a tin can by a Van Halen tribute act whose singer kinda sorta sounds like Sammy Hagar. Horrendous production that completely outweighs any minor I'm sorry, I don't know what that is, but he continues. Should say too that I don't hate the song itself. It's just undercooked and feels so far back of their best work. Well, you're not entirely wrong. The production quality, again, as we said, it's not my favorite. I wish it had been better. But it didn't kill the song for me entirely. So, and Kevin also says, just listen to the live version. First off, 1,000 times better than the studio cut. Second, Gary actually sounds more like DLR, David Lee Roth. Wild. Well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a meh thing if he's sounding more like David Lee Roth in that instance, because
it's a good thing.
As you all well know, I like David Lee Roth. I love David Lee Roth. Do not get that twisted. I just find Sammy to be the better singer. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
Mark. I know you and I have our differences, and I will never question how astute you are of a singer and understanding the technical parts of singing, right? Mm-hmm. 100%. There is a charisma about Diamond Dave that surpasses technical talent. that I think that you are not giving enough credit to. It's like, it's one thing to be able to hit every note. It's another thing. Sammy Hagar is technically a better singer. David Lee Roth is jazz. And you cannot, understand or measure his improv and what he brings to the table on a technical level, because it's not that, it's art.
He's definitely the more charismatic of the two. I'll give you that.
But I'm going beyond that. I'm saying the parts of his art you can't measure from a technical singing. Like, there's so much that you can measure from technical, but yeah. Because he's doing jazz, right? And he is very much doing jazz, you know, even though he's doing rock. So there's parts of his improv within a song that can't be measured on the same level that you can measure a technical singer.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah!
That would warrant a further discussion, but I like where your head's at with that. That's a very good, very good analogy. Good on you there, John. And that is those are the tweets from the poll. So yeah, once again, without you, 70-30, 70% of you agreed with us that is what dreams are made of, and it may very well be the only one from Van Halen 3 that we have said that about. Well, at least from my standpoint, I think Corey might disagree. He might have a few more tunes in there that he's ready to, be optimistic about. And I thank him for his optimism. I hope more of it rubs off a little bit, because, you know, boy, we need it. So without further ado, because we want to get this train rolling, I think it's time to spin the wheel. Corey has a song that he wants to hear a particular song. Can you quickly tell us what that song is, Corey?
Yeah, Mark. I want to give a shout out to a couple of our listeners who follow us on Twitter, Gene Hickey and Jonathan Meisner. Both had the same idea I did tonight. I would die to get a little somebody get me a doctor for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons, but. Well, let's hope the wheel is kind. John, you being our resident guest on call, is there a particular Van Halen song you want to listen to and talk about tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking at the wheel, and there's a bunch of songs I love on here, but mm-hmm. I really feel like I'd love to talk about Right Now if it hits.
Cool. Oh,
that's a gooder.
I would not be mad about that. There are a lot of hits still on the wheel, so it's really anybody's ball game. I think we could really use a hit right now. I think a hit would be something. I think that would be what the doctor ordered. I think Corey needs it as well. So let's see if the wheel wants to be kind, merciful, or just an all-out bastard. Sammy, whenever you're ready, take us away.
All right. Before then, John, pick a number between 1 and 5.
8. Okay, 3.
3. That's how many times I'm checking. 1, 2, 3. Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
All right. Oh, this is a good one, boys. Drop Dead Legs from 1984. That's fantastic.
Vintage Van Halen. Gotta love it.
You wanted a hit. I don't know. This one wasn't really a hit, but anything off 1984 is an absolute bona fide Van Halen classic. And
yeah, as far as I'm concerned, they're all bangers. So this is a win. This is a win tonight. And we needed a break from Van Halen 3.
There you go.
So 1984 is on shuffle on my playlist that plays in my car all the time. Drop Dead Legs is always a favorite when it hits. It was on my mixtapes as a kid. It was on my mix CDs. It has been in heavy rotation since I've owned this album. We're in for a good one tonight, folks.
Yeah, a lot of people have been waiting for Drop Dead Legs. Like I said, not one of the big hits, but the deep cut Van Halen fans love this.
It's the fan favorite. I too have seen this on Twitter and all of our social medias. People are wondering when we get to this. And the ones that I respond to, I go, well, whenever the wheel decides to give it to us.
To put it in perspective, Corey and I do that Aerosmith show, and we're putting together the ultimate Aerosmith mixtape. If we were doing that for Van Halen, Corey would have to fight me tooth and nail to take this song off the new mixtape if he wanted it off. That's my feelings on it.
I don't think he would fight you too hard for that. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I dig this whole album. It's for all you vinyl fans out there, this is the fifth cut off of 1984, right after Top Jimmy and before you flip the side and get a little hot for teacher with track number six. But 1984 is considered an all-around rock classic album. Of course, it went diamond, one of their biggest selling albums. It was the album that got me into Van Halen, produced by Ted Templeman, released way back January 9th, 1984, recorded at 5150. The last album featuring David Lee Roth until A Different Kind of Truth. And I can't wait. What do you say, boys? Should we spin a little Drop Dead Legs?
We got to do it. Let's hear it. Wait, Alex, no, we need you to hit that cowbell more. We need you to do it again, more cowbell.
Those opening riffs, though, right? And like Alex with the cowbell and the drums, but those opening riffs are some of my favorite licks of Van Halen, right? Like, absolutely. Like, I pop that on a jukebox when I'm hanging out in an arcade. I know I seem like I'm dating myself, but I actually do go to a resort every year that still has an arcade and a jukebox. This is on that
all over the place again.
And when I go there in August, one of the first songs I inevitably play on the jukebox to kick off my vacation week is Drop Dead Legs. And it kind of sets the mood for the week.
That's a good choice. Good call. The local watering hole I visit has a jukebox accessible to anybody. It's all digital. I can do it on the app. So there are times where I just get on that app and I just play an hour of whatever the hell I want. I think Drop Dead Legs needs to be added to the repertoire, but you're right. That opening riff, the opening little Eddie noodling on guitar there, it's got his custom sound. If you've listened to Van Halen enough times, you realize the tone of Eddie's guitar sound is very, very, it's a signature. And this is no exception right here. It's absolutely, you don't mistake that for anybody else. His tone is his tone.
Giant butt.
Dig that steam and giant butt. Is the steam coming from the giant butt, though? Because if so, that could be bad.
Depends how big the butt is, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, this is really what we would call an all-cylinder song. You know, the way the band is grooving and Diamond Dave, and this was kind of my point about him being more jazz and artist. The flourishes he's throwing in here complement the guitar and what the band is doing in general. And then even the stank he's putting on the ends of his lines give this a sexiness to the song that has no business being. And because the lyrics, like, you guys would just kind of like picking on the lyrics a little bit, fairly enough, but it's the stank and the drawl that Diamond Dave is putting on there that's giving it that little sexiness and complimenting the guitar.
Now, John, are you getting a little bit of an Aerosmith vibe, like not necessarily from the production or anything, but just kind of the groove? Getting a little bit of an Aerosmith vibe. You mentioned stank. That's kind of our go-to word on the Aerosmith show.
Yeah. You know, but I always go in between, like, am I getting an Aerosmith vibe from Van Halen, or am I getting a Van Halen vibe from Aerosmith? They're both pretty much the same era, man. And it's not like, I don't feel like one influenced the other that much.
No, but they were both influenced by, you know, bands like Zeppelin and
other. But they do their own, like, I think they both have equal parts sexiness, and you can see a lot of comparisons. The further, you know, Corey and I have gone down that Aerosmith rabbit hole, and we've talked about it on our own show, like the comparisons to Van Halen, and you know, it sounds crazy because Joe Perry versus Eddie is a non-starter, right?
Oh,
like absolute non-starter.
We love you, Joe, but yeah, no.
It's true.
But when you compare the lead singers, and I will include both Sammy and Diamond Dave and Steven Tyler, there is something that they bring to the table that you know, I feel like, I've said it to Corey, I feel like the best parts of Sammy and the best parts of Diamond Dave are Steven Tyler. But that doesn't take away from them individually being great, right?
Sure, yeah.
But that what Diamond Dave is doing here, the stank that Corey's alluding to, Steven Tyler on the best Aerosmith tracks does, and you know, Diamond Dave does it effortlessly. I think we kick back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. Bet you get 30, 30, bet you get 30, bet you get 20, 20, 20, bet you get 20, 20, bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
To the track and enjoy some more, guys.
We should.
All right, thoughts on the chorus, gentlemen?
Just can't get over that that high harmony by Michael. He's just always comes in clutch with that high. You want a high harmony, get Mike in here.
But it's something to me with a lesser voice with not Michael, I think could fall very flat very easily.
Yeah,
and Michael coming in high there builds the song, because the song's building there in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And when Michael comes in, it's one of my favorite parts of the song when Michael comes in, and it's so underrated because there's so much more going on. But without, like, if that comes in flat, it deadens the song right there.
Yeah, it completely just flattens it out entirely, and you're just like, do I even want to continue? Like, I'm right. Not amped anymore.
And we're at a point in the song where it's building, and we can feel it building, and it's building and building and building. And when Michael comes in, it helps to take leaps and bounds in that build. And you know, I just wanted to bring some focus on that because it's an important part of the song.
It is. Absolutely. Corey, you have any short words for the chorus?
Yeah.
Deep those
this string of phrases that he's throwing out here right now is some of the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard on a song.
Yep.
And it's a Diamond Dave song for you, but it is amazing. Yes.
Throw my rope, loop to loop, nice white teeth, Betty Boop. It's like, okay. Like David throws that out there in a recording session. And like, I guess so.
I guess so. Unless he's, is Dave trying to imply that Betty Boop has drop dead legs? Is that it? I mean, because Betty did wear a.
She did.
You don't imply that. She just did.
Yeah.
She just, boop, yeah, right.
Boop boop beep, boop boop be doop. That was like her thing, and then she'd shake her, she'd shake her ass, and she'd have the long legs. So yeah. he's not wrong, but it's like throw my rope. He's basically saying he's gonna go jerk off to Betty Boop here.
That's what it sounds like to me.
He's gonna throw it.
Right? That's what it's all about. It's
dig like those like, moves. Vampire set me loose, get it higher, throw my rope, loop to loop, right? So that's his dick. Mm-hmm. Nice white teeth, Betty Boop.
So he's modest as well.
Yeah, he's going to get laid. He's very much. This is him going to get either some head, going to get laid, but very much things are going on here, and Diamond Dave is very directly talking about it with random phrases.
Perhaps he's also maybe he's implying not Betty Boop like literally, but maybe a woman that looks like Betty Boop.
Or maybe like Betty Boop was a sex symbol of like the 30s, right? Like she actually was. Like we don't think of her that way because she's a cartoon character, and we think of cartoon characters for kids. This is back when cartoon characters were for everybody, and she was considered like a sex symbol. She was like a cigarette girl of the time, right? So he's basically nicknaming somebody in the bar Betty Boop, which Betty is Boop. Fine. Yep. Like
there you go.
That's how I'm taking it. It's like going home with Betty Boop.
Yeah. And there you have it. We've broken it down by we are non-experts breaking it down because that's what we do on this show.
And what's going to happen is like, you know, we've done this before, Mark, where you said it sounds like David Lee Roth just went off into a corner and scribbled this shit out in about 10 minutes and went to the vocal booth and cut it. And someone on the internet is going to call me a jagoff and say, actually, you know, these lyrics were inspired by the Iliad or something stupid like that.
So Corey,
the Iliad.
In fairness, I threw out all these random non-facts in this episode. So people are going to kill me on Twitter because you can't talk today.
Oh, they'll still kill me on Twitter. You don't have to talk on Twitter.
No, yeah. If they don't kill Corey, they'll kill me. They always do. They always come after me, but I always come back. But anyway, speaking of back to the song.
Here we go. Is this album the best that the David Lee Roth era sounded? Maybe up until A Different Kind of Truth with Joshua sounded pretty cool, but like the other albums in this era were all really great and sound great, but man, they're fucking on fire here. And like Ted Templeman, the production on this thing sounds amazing.
It's hard for me to argue against it, although my heart wants to say I think Van Halen 2.
That's where I was going to go, Mark.
But that could also just, I mean, that could be my personal bias because I just really, really love Van Halen too. I don't know, man, you might have a viable argument on that one, Corey.
I will say song for song, I'll take Van Halen 2 over 84, even though I owned 84 first. Production wise, look, Corey might have a point, like production wise, this might be the crispest and best Diamond Dave has sounded, but it's hard for me to put this over the songs on too, just because I love them so much more.
Oh yeah, and quality-wise, I wasn't trying to compare. I would probably lean towards Van Halen too as well myself, but just production-wise, I would hope if you can listen to this episode or listen to this song after the fact with headphones on, because you really get the full effect of the production of this song. It's the anti Without You in that the production really helps this song just kick major ass.
And now I'm like, I'm stuck in this realm of indecision, because now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I choose Van Halen 2 over 84. I don't know. Okay. I don't know, because like they're both so damn good.
Mark, it's a binary poll. You got to pick one.
You're right. It's binary. We'll just say Little Dreamer, and then we'll go back to the song. Fade away into the sunset. I'm gonna say something to you, Corey. Often we have talked about guitar solos, and you like to bring up the example of the guitarist for Living Color,
right?
In Cult of Personality, in that he has two solos, two really long solos, where the man and I apologize, I'm blanking on his name right now.
Vernon Reid.
Thank you. He is all over the place in both of those solos, so much so. And to you, you go, he's not playing the solos for the song. He's more like playing the solos for the sake of playing as many notes as he possibly can. And I said, I agree with that statement, though I admittedly, I think the solos work just for me personally. But yeah, no, I get what you mean. Playing the notes for the sake of notes. Eddie, I think, is doing exactly that in this song for this solo. And that does not mean it's a bad thing. It's not even like it's not in the negative whatsoever. I'm just saying Eddie is all over the place in this song. I had forgotten that the solo kind of goes, I'm not going to say off the rails, because it doesn't. He creates the rails. He makes it. He turns the rails into a roller coaster. Like mid songs with this solo, it's awesome. It's astounding. It also sounds like he is just making it up right on the spot, and they just decided, keep rolling, keep going. We're just gonna keep using it, because there was one at one point it sounded like the solo that he ran out of neck space, and he was like, oh shit, and then he had to like correct himself real quick, and he came in and did something a little bit different. And then did a phrase where it was even more different and just all over the place. That, but I use that example of the Living Color, the Cult of Personality solos, because this song, the solo in this song sounded very much reminiscent of that in my ears. Am I crazy, or do you hear it?
You know what? I heard it maybe in the second half of the solo. The first half, I didn't. I thought it was very much. He was playing it for the song.
Right, yeah.
And I was also really focusing on how great the drum sounded. Like the drum sound on this album is phenomenal. But you know, he was in the pocket, he was in the groove, and then you heard him playing his own rhythm, and he was kind of laying on top of that, and that was all good. And then there came a point probably halfway through the solo where it started to get you know, quite notey, right? And he did kind of all over the place. So I do see your point in the second half of the solo, maybe not so much in the first. What do you think, John?
So to agree with both Mark and Corey and kind of put a pin in this whole thing, I feel like it starts off with seemingly is going to be a very elementary Eddie solo, right?
Yeah.
To Corey's point, like it blends in and matches the song. Eddie very artfully, kind of like a hammer, like he just noodles his way through, like, this is what the song sounds like, this is what the guitar solo for the song would sound like, and it's like it's almost like you get on the roller coaster and it's ticking up at that point, and you're like, all right, well, it's Eddie, but it's very elementary Eddie. And then all of a sudden you take that first drop and Eddie just goes off on a tangent and you are on the ride with him all the way to the outro. And it is so beautifully done. This is why this is one of my favorite eras. Sorry, I misspoke. One of my favorite Van Halen songs. I almost forgot which podcast I was on. But the reality is, it has all the elements. You know, from Michael hitting those high notes, to the cowbell, to the drums, to the guitar, to Diamond Dave doing his damnedest during this whole thing, to the batshit crazy lyrics. This song has it all. And if you want to sit there and go to somebody, this is why I love Van Halen, this to me is one of those songs that you share with them.
Would it surprise you guys to know that they played this song, out of all the 1984 songs, they played this song live the least, and kind of by a lot. They only played this song live 41 times, according to setlist.fm.
You know, I'm not incredibly shocked by that. Although it is kind of surprising that maybe, as we pointed out, this is a fan favorite for sure, but I guess the voices just weren't loud enough for them to hear, hey, play this song live. We'll love it.
I wonder if the other mega hits on this album weren't such mega hits, if this didn't get more, like if this wouldn't have gotten more play. I feel like, especially when you're creating a set list, you're only going to do so many per album. And look, 84 is one of the big ones. And there are certain songs you got to play off of 84 no matter what. And I think because of that, it limited the ability to add songs like Drop Dead Legs. Like you're not gonna do an 8-hour Van Halen show, as much of any one of us would want to hear that, right? Like they're just not going to do it. Yeah. So things get cut. And I have a feeling that that's why.
And actually, according to setlist.fm, it wasn't even played on the 1984 tour. It was played in 2015. So,
oh,
interesting.
Wow. Yeah, that is interesting. But, I think John has a very valid point, because like I said, 1984, that's a big, huge album. Corey pointed out this thing went, diamond status? The record went diamond?
Over 10 million copies.
That's insane. That's insane. But if you think about it in terms of 1984, I think that probably had a lot to do with it. You can't substitute this for Panama. You can't substitute this for Jump. You can't even substitute this for Hot for Teacher. I would be scalding angry if you did that. And I like this song, but you gotta have the hits. But
Mark, let me ask you this. Let's say you have a little cousin, and your little cousin goes, Uncle Mark or Cousin Mark, like I want to listen to that band Van Halen, and like, you know, you got to pick a song off of 84, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a song I would make them listen to. I'm like, this is why I think this band is great.
Of all the songs on this album, and little cousin says, hey, I want to listen to that band Van Halen that I'm not familiar with, you would play this song as the starter?
I feel like I would, because the other songs I love, like look, I love Jump, right? But to me, the keyboards are less of the Van Halen sound to me than that. I actually like this guitar solo more than I like Panama's guitar solo, right? And that's not a knock on Panama. I love Panama. It's catchy as hell. Right, But there are things in this song that I think are closer to, like, you and I both love Van Halen too. This song to me feels like it really might belong on that album.
I could hear that. I think I would show my little cousin Hot for Teacher, honestly. It's like, oh, if he's like, you want the full effect of Van Halen, here you go.
Well, you're a pervert, Mark.
Well, I mean, that was never in question. But after all of that, raved review, I think we can safely assume, but I don't want to assume anything. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask, John, since you're here as our, you know, guest, as it were, is Drop Dead Legs what dreams are made of, or is it time for the dream to be over?
I'm going to say the dream should be over so that way I could just keep it for myself. So now nobody else can listen to it and it's mine. That's how it works, right?
The cult of Mariano strikes again, and this time it's taken everything I say. Anything more to add to this song, John?
No, look, it to me is a standout. Like, it might sound like I'm going over the top on it, and I'm not. Like, it is truly one of my favorites, and I'm really happy we pulled it while I was here, because, look, if you don't love this song, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast.
So I'm going to go out on a limb, and John actually meant to do this. Full disclosure, I was going to play The Dream Is Over regardless of what John picked, just to...
That sounds about right. That's on brand. Corey, if you're up to it, can you let the people know, did you find Drop Dead Legs, The Dream Is Over, or is this what dreams are made of?
Like, I got a little bit of strength left in my click and finger. Let's see what I come up with. Love this record, love this band, love this track. I actually really like John's point that he could have heard this on Van Halen too. It kind of has that kind of feel to it. Would have fit right in, I think, on Van Halen too. But the production on this song is amazing. I thought Alex's drum sounded phenomenal. Mikey's killing it on the bass. Like, the rhythm section is just right in the pocket and killing it. Dave sounds amazing. This is probably his best sounding album, I think, out of all of them. And the little flourishes he's putting in there, like the jazz that John was talking about, were all perfect. Yeah, the lyrics are stupid, but you know what? You're going to get that on occasion. I still kind of like the fact that he just fit in the line "giant butt" in a song in the 1980s. That was amazing. And "Throw My Rope," you could take that whichever way you like as well. Little pearl necklace, perhaps, but absolutely the dreams are made of here. Mark Kammeyer, are you going to make it a clean sweep?
Just call me Custodian Kammeyer because I'm sweeping it all. Yes, clean sweep. I mean, what else can I say? This is yet just one banger of many bangers on this album. This album is a total banger. So Drop Dead Legs, I think there's nothing more I could possibly add to it than what we've already discussed, other than when you go to your local establishment, whether that be a bowling alley, a skating rink, an arcade, yes, they still exist, or your local watering hole, and you see a jukebox, do yourself a favor, put in some coin for Drop Dead Legs, and just watch everyone sort of start feeling the groove, even the young kids that might not even know much about Van Halen. They'll get into it. It's fine. It's contagious. It's a catchy tune. The solo is a little bit, the solo is great. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But there are a couple of times where I'm going, okay, Eddie, you've got nothing to prove here. What are you doing? It's fine. We don't need all the notes, but hey, it's Eddie Van Halen. What are you going to do? I'm not mad about it. I'm just going, okay, it's fine. But yeah, though, this is a great catchy tune. This is the one, this is kind of the one you want to hear. One of many you want to hear when you're listening to a Van Halen track. And I think John has, I think he's convinced me you could hear this song from something like the Van Halen 2 era. And as mentioned, I love that album. So that's a win. That's a win all around. We all win all around because we're talking about a great Van Halen track, and that's why you come here, because you want to hear us talk about Van Halen. You want to hear Van Halen. You want to talk about it, and that's why we love you. You, the listener, you, the audience that actually give us encouragement and encouraging things to read. Thank you for being a part of it. And speaking of that, if you want to keep it up, please go to @podcastwillrock on Twitter. That is our Twitter. If you're not already following us, give us a follow. Find out what we're talking about. Find the other podcasts in our network of podcasts, the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, where we've got all sorts of shows. Shows that talk about all your favorite rock bands from days past or days present. They're all there. It's all good. There are so many to choose from, including but not limited to Backtracks with these two gentlemen that are with me tonight. Backtracks, the Aerosmith podcast, and then the new show. Be on the lookout for that. Backtracks Theme Music, where we where you guys are gonna dive into songs from film and television, and how it correlates to you know, the song itself correlating to the material. I cannot wait for that show. I can't wait to listen to it. You guys go ahead and give it a listen. Go give it a follow. And if you want to find us personally, you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Corey at CD Morissette. Same places. John, if you want the people to come harass you and join your cult, where can they find you?
Oh, they can find me at John. Oh, no, it's not even dots. It's just John Mariano NY on Twitter. You can find me and hear my rantings like a maniac there. Oh, wait, sorry. That's somebody else's show.
Oh, gone but not forgotten. I love it. But that's it, guys. That's the show. On behalf of Corey and John, myself, thank you for joining us, for listening to another outstanding track of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We are, and the podcast will rock. And we will rock you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.